So I'm so excited to be here at the James Reeb Unitarian Universalist Congregation. I'm here this week. I was part of the UU Musicians Network Conference. There are actually three people running for UUA president, so I want to lift up their names in addition to myself. Jean Pupke, who's the minister in Richmond, Virginia, and Allison Miller from Morristown, New Jersey, are two other candidates. And when I knew I'd be here, I called Karen and said, hey, any chance I could preach? So it's just my absolute honor to be here with all of you. And as I shared, I have some roots here in Madison, Wisconsin, and I love this community, and it is always a gift to be back. I want to thank Karen for welcoming me here. I want to thank Lila Pine for setting up the reception afterwards, and Pat for helping me with worship, and Amy Clemens, who is not a member here but knows many of you and is also helping and cooked some delicious food for lunch, among others. So I want to thank you for your hospitality, warmth, and love. It's good to be here. So once upon a time, in the not too distant past, there was a Unitarian Universalist congregation that had been through many tumultuous years. Now, as beautiful as our theology is, grounded in covenant and community, we are, after all, congregations filled with, well, human beings, right? Beautiful, struggling, hopeful, and imperfect human beings. And so this was a community that was struggling with some of the more challenging aspects of living in community. They had had in their past conflicts with ministers, division among members, and this had led to financial difficulties and anxiety in the system. For more than a decade, they were stuck in cycles of conflict. Now, I will tell you that I'm not talking about you. Everywhere I've gone, people are like, you were talking about me. No, in fact, but this is a common reality. And what had happened in this congregation, they had some real challenges and some serious conflicts. But what happened is every time a little difference or a little conflict would happen, anxiety would get really high. Now, there was, of course, friendship and love and unbelievable commitment to one another and the congregation in this community as well. But it was difficult, often difficult. And then a leader of the congregation, a member of the board of trustees, began to ask the community a question. He said, what would happen if our congregation just disappeared? Would anyone notice? Would it matter? This was a powerful question, because it pointed to something of greatest importance. If the answer to the question was no, no one would notice, it wouldn't make a difference, then what was the purpose of the congregation in the first place? And so with that question, the community began to say how we do this work of congregational life, how we are a community together matters. And we're not doing it as well as we could, and we want to do it better. We got to take care of that. Yeah. Thank you for nurturing community all across our lives, right? So this congregation decided they were going to do something about this. And they set forth a new plan, a strategic vision, and they had one goal. And that was to become the beloved community. They worked on covenant, especially covenant about how we work with each other when we're not in agreement. They worked on right relationships. And they said the quality of our community comes first, that that's what we're here to be, is a spiritual community. They move past silos of power. They move past individual preference to invest in a vision of a healthy, strong, loving, beloved community. And it was at this time that I met this congregation, embarking on this bold vision, and they had a fire in their belly about who they wanted to be. That congregation is the UU Congregation of Phoenix, which I have been so blessed to serve for these past 8 years. They have inspired me. And together we've continued to dream big, and we've nurtured in the heart of that congregation a growing vision of a multicultural, multigenerational, beloved community committed to the spiritual growth of our people and the advancement of love and justice within and beyond our walls. We're known in Phoenix for national immigration work. And, you know, my own arrest and struggles against Sheriff Arpaio, racist sheriff in Maricopa County that attacks the Latino community. But all of that justice work, the way we were able to act so effectively and collectively, came from this initial commitment to community and building a beloved community. Something transformative happens when people see a larger vision for themselves. This happens individually, and it happens for communities. It was like Janie. When she saw who she could be rather than who her parents wanted her to be, she found a light that helped her live and grow into that person. And I believe that's true for all of us when we have that sense of calling, and I know that it is true for our communities. So my colleague and friend, the Reverend John Dorhauer, he's the president of our liberal Christian cousins, the UCC, the United Church of Christ. They're sometimes called Unitarians, considering Christ. Anyway, John Dorhauer says that this is a defining moment. He likens this period of history that we are living in to something comparable to the Protestant Reformation, which was a radical shift in borders, in nations, and in religion that at least in part was due to the advent of the printing press, right? And this phenomenal access to information. Well, today's printing press is the internet and social media, and it's radically changing the way people organize and connect and access to information all across the globe. We only need to look to the Arab Spring to see the importance and change that social media is bringing. And then add to this the reality of global climate change, and we truly are living in a moment of tension and opportunity. I think we're living in a moment of a new normal where migration is an ongoing reality around the world, where tension and conflict is. Because in times of change, in periods of great change, there can also be strong resistance movements to change, right? Because change is destabilizing. Yeah, you're shocked, right, about the resistance to change that builds up in these moments when so many things are beginning to shift, and that creates anxiety and fear and tension. All of that is real. More than ever in this kind of time, we need strong spiritual communities that nurture connection in a time of disconnection, that nurture love and hope in a time of fear and anxiety. We need communities that encourage us to keep our hearts open, like Pema Chodron says, to find that place that is rigid in our hearts and soften it and stay with that softness, staying open despite fear. We need communities that really seek to live into that vision of the beloved community that Dr. King talked about, and that begin to push for that larger beloved community beyond our own walls. In his essay, The I Church Revealed, that's like small I, like iPod or iPad, in the I Church Revealed by Unitarian Universalist Fred Meir, he's a minister in Washington, D.C., he says there's three things that are really holding us back as Unitarian Universalists. He calls them the Trinity of Errors, which is funny because we're non-Trinitarian. But the Trinity of Errors, he says these are individualism, exceptionalism, that's, you know, thinking we have all the right answers or are the most enlightened, and our allergy to authority. He says these are holding us back from being the vital religious community for our time, and we've got to get beyond these. So I'm running for UUA president because I do believe that we have a vital role to place in to play in exactly these times. And to do this, we are going to have to move beyond individualism, exceptionalism, and our allergy to authority. And to do this, I think there's three things we need to focus on. And number one is the spiritual vitality of our communities. Number two is to be grounded in partnership with other UU congregations and beyond Unitarian Universalism. And the third thing is to be organized for impact, to be focused on the difference we want to make in the world. And so let me say just a little bit about each of these. I mean, first, spiritually vital communities. I think I've talked about how important that is. But in this moment, we need communities that teach us courage and resiliency, that are places where we can bring our despair and heartbreak for what's happening in our world, as well as find courage to continue to live the value of love in our own lives and beyond. And number two, we need to be, and let me say about spiritually vital communities, when I told the story about Phoenix, that importance of moving beyond individualism, realizing that the community is more important than our individual preferences. It is said that in this time, what's going to be most important is not some individual leader that's going to lead us into a brighter day of hope, but community. We need to recover community and connection that reminds us of our humanity and our interdependence. So that's the importance of nurturing the health of our communities. Number two, partnership. The challenges we face, whether it's racial justice, global climate change, or any of the other enormous challenges, we can't fix these on our own as Unitarian Universalists. These moments call for broad coalitions that are working at the intersections of oppression and change. So for the last 8 years, I've lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and living in a border state, I've come to see that this really is a border time, and that ours is a border faith. So a border place, a border community, it doesn't look like one side of the border or the other. It's actually a completely unique place that is a community of creativity and mixing and sharing. It can be a community of tension, yes, but also opportunity. And I think that is a good metaphor for this time that we're living in right now. But ours is also a border faith, because Unitarian Universalism lives on the border between Christianity and Judaism and humanism. And increasingly, we live on the border of Buddhism and indigenous traditions, and Islam and Hinduism. We are a border faith for the sharing and change that is needed in this time. But the other thing about being grounded in partnership, because partnership pulls us into borders, it pulls us beyond the parochial borders of our own making, it also helps us move beyond exceptionalism. We are really good at thinking we have the most enlightened religious perspective. We're really good at thinking we have the best analysis always. That doesn't help us partner with others. It doesn't help us build coalition or connect through our hearts as human beings with one another, with others who disagree or have a different perspective. Partnership can move us beyond exceptionalism, teach us humility and the importance of having a larger perspective than we alone could ever have. And then finally, we need to be organized for impact. This is the one that I think is most important for us as Unitarian Universalists. And it means putting mission first and asking how are we going to be relevant and vital for the 21st century. When the Unitarian Universalist Association made the decision in 2010 in the face of the most punitive anti-immigrant law we had seen in generations, SB 1070 in Arizona, not to boycott Arizona, but to answer the invitation from migrant rights groups to come and focus our General Assembly on migrant rights and justice, and we created the Justice GA, we said we are going to put aside business as usual so that we can have an impact. Well, what does that say about our business as usual? That we have to put it aside if we want to have impact, right? Frankly, this is not a business as usual status quo moment. This is a turning point in our lives on this planet, and for our own faith. But this really is a turning point, not a time of status quo. It is a time of change. So we need to be asking, how are we called to show up and live our faith in this moment? How are we called to live the beloved community? Now, many UU congregations, certainly not all, but many are plagued with an allergy to authority. This allergy keeps us mired in inward debates that undermine the quality of our community, and it distracts us from working powerfully and collectively for change. Now, rather than an allergy to authority, I think we need to model and embrace authentic and collaborative models of leadership and power. So we have a reasonable allergy to authority because we know the way authority gets abused. Right? We can see it in our own political circumstances right now. We have plenty of models of poor authority and abuse of power. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a strong resistance to it. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but in this moment, more is needed from religious liberals. More is needed, more hope, more love, and more leadership, because leadership is critical to organizing the power of a collective voice. We say that's one of the reasons why certain movements are stronger than others, right? Because they will follow leaders. And what I think is most important in this moment is actually modeling authentic, collaborative leadership. It's not buying into old models. This is a turning point. This is not a status quo moment. We need to embrace leadership, but collaborative, accountable. Collaborative, accountable, transparent leadership for this moment and for our future. As a lifelong Unitarian Universalist raised in this affirming and inclusive faith, I know I wouldn't be the person I am today without having been raised in this tradition. And our faith continues to teach me how to boldly and courageously lead from the values of love and justice. Many are leaving religious communities and institutions in general because they fail to see their relevance for the real crises and challenges we're facing. I know the challenging call that our faith makes to us. I know the power of Unitarian Universalism. And I know the life-saving, life-changing places our communities can be. Together, I know that we can more fully live in to our vision of being a radically inclusive, justice-centered spiritual community for this time. And I'm honored, truly grateful, to be running for UUA president in exactly this critical moment of great change, where we have a religious presence to bring to this moment. The impact of our values in this world, in our communities, for this moment matters. Just like that congregation that said, how we're doing this isn't good enough because our voice is needed. That's how I feel about our whole faith at this moment. I know our capacity to be vital justice partnerships and committed to the beloved community. And as president, I will bring my focus to fostering mission clarity for our communities, organizational impact, and resources to help our congregations live into the calling in this moment. For we truly are called to be a vital voice for love and justice, and communities of resiliency and courage for those who are here and those who have not yet come. May we be the people that we are called to be.